You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 4 August. We've got month-on-month U.S. factory order data due 4 p.m. our time, expected minus 5.2 versus 8.2% previously. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Nkunza Sanlam Private Wealth, U.S. jobs data and tariff impacts. Looks like they're off coming 30% on Thursday. We're chatting with the CEO of Sasria, how they've strengthened the balance sheet post those 2021 riots, got new insurers on board, and perhaps also looking to expand what they offer. And then we're chatting with our head of knowledge and insight at Old Mutual, their 2025 Old Mutual Saving and Investment Monitor. Seeing improved optimism amongst South African consumers. I've been saying it for a while. Still tough, but less tough maybe than a year ago. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Money markets, MoneyWeb, finance minister hits back at Reserve Bank's 3% inflation target. Treasury makes it clear this is not Saab's isolated call. Business J, July car sales hit six-year peak in SA. Sales firmly re-established pre-COVID-19 levels. Over 50,000 vehicles sold last month. Money markets, US was red back on Friday. S&P down 1.6%, NASDAQ off 2%. I noticed the US 10-year 4.252. The East is mostly green. Sydney 0.2 higher. Tokyo off 1.6%. Hong Kong 0.5% higher and Tencent almost 2% up. Commodities mostly green. Gold futures 3,409. Brent is the red at 69.50. Platinum 1,320. Palladium 1,219. The Rand 1804. Bitcoin 114,700. And top 40 opening call 60 points to the green, which is a little under 0.1% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nkunza Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, last week was a chock full of data and central bank announcements. Friday afternoon, our time, was U.S. jobs data. Unemployment rate picked up a little bit, 4.2%, but there's certainly some weakness. So it wasn't a complete bust, but some weakness and negative revisions in the jobs data, which is maybe the first sign that we've seen in some time.
Yeah, morning, Sam. Morning to the listeners. Yeah, I think that's a Friday jobs number, end of a data packed week, as you said. And yeah, the headline numbers didn't look too bad. I mean, the world's biggest economy adding 73,000 jobs in July doesn't sound so bad. But when you look a little bit backwards, those figures from May and June combined were 258,000 lowered down, which is a huge, which is an unusually large revision, to be honest, by the sort of BLS. So, it maybe is the first little cracks of what has been an unbelievable run for effectively full employment in the United States for a better part of a decade.
And how much should we be very concerned about Trump saying that he's firing the head of the Bureau of Labor Standards because he doesn't like the data? I mean, if surely that just starts to, over time, then just erode the credibility of U.S. data. And we may as well be talking about, having Turkey or some other crazy republic.
I don't know. I mean, how much are the ramblings of a madman and how much do we take him seriously? I mean, bottom line is he has fired the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Mm-hmm. Not great. I mean, I think the wider ramifications are, financial markets are built on trust. Yeah. I mean, we invest in countries. I'm not sitting in America, so I've got to believe the numbers that I see. Mm-hmm. And if you're starting to not like numbers and just firing people, it certainly puts the whole credibility in stake. And yes, to your point, Turkish finance minister, brother-in-law, I think he was fired once or twice. So, it is a very slippery slope. And market seems to be shrugging off for now, but we'll see.
Yeah, it certainly is. So next thing to tariffs, they're coming through 1 minute past midnight on Thursday. And I've been digging through our market. I mean, to be clear, 30% tariff, not good at all. But I mean, I don't, you know, Impact's going to take a bit of hit because they sell the packaging that the citrus is exported. You know, some of the companies supplying into the vehicles. I mean, are there particular stocks or sectors that you think are going to be sort of overly hard hit? Or is this just a case of it's going to be more at the margins?
It's such a tricky one because, I mean, obviously those who are in those industries that are going to be affected, it's going to be pretty catastrophic. I mean, yeah. A 30% markup on the likes of citrus, certain wines, you know, vehicles, you know, I think there's also, some art and interior, various different things. I mean, that sector, citrus cannot compete with a 30% tariff on top. I mean, that's going to be really tough. But I guess if you have to take a step back and look as a country perspective, I've seen various data or numbers running around. It's probably about 0.2% of GDP. It's not a big hit. Mm-hmm. And you know, less than half the stuff that we do export to the United States is tariff exempt. So I don't think it's as catastrophic as, say, Switzerland, which is going to really knock them. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, certain consequences in South Africa, you know, unfortunately, are going to feel the knock on this 30% tariff.
Quick last question. AngloGold Ashanti, second quarter and 6 month numbers out for ending June, doing exactly what a gold miner should be doing at this point, printing cash.
Printing cash, free cash flow, unbelievable. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this gold price continues. You might even be knocking on the doors of R1,000 a share at this angle gold price. But yeah, AngloGold's doing well. And I must be said, management of all the gold companies learning a little bit from the past, not going out there and buying hundreds of mines at the top of the cycle. So being pretty prudent with their cash reserves. And as a shareholder, I think some more dividends coming. So yeah, just a perfect sweet spot for the gold miners for now, anyway. But yeah, this is cyclical, this business.
100% cyclical, but as a shareholder, loving it. Free cash flow, 149% up. We'll leave it there. That's Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth. Our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter, goes back to those tariffs. How badly are they going to hit the local exchange? 0.2%, as Nick says, of GDP. Not massive, but of course, we only have about 1% GDP. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money benefit from experience with Stanlib Asset Management. Find out about Stanlib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Pumi Tekwe, CEO of Sasria. Pumi, I appreciate having you on the show again. We chatted, earlier 2024. You were talking around sort of getting things back on track. Looking at Sasria as we stand right now, looking significantly healthier. Recent reports, you've got a financial buffer, sort of some 20 billion rand, probably putting it in the strongest position it has been since it first came in the late 70s.
Yes, no, thank you. Good morning, Simon, and good morning to your listeners as well. Yes, we are certainly in a far much more better position than we have been in our history. So, yes, we've managed to accumulate 20 billion rands of reserves over the last 3 years. And that's also helped significantly by us being able to secure better reinsurance availability in the current year.
That better sort of availability, is that just, I mean, is that because you've got the bigger buffer and therefore you're perhaps a more attractive partner to reinsure with? But I can't help but mentioning the elections last year, which frankly went off by and large very peacefully, must have also maybe had some impact there.
Yeah, definitely the elections, the way the security cluster, the way South African political parties, the majority of them at least, and the way the IEC conducted itself and the South African public. So generally the elections went far much more better, Simon, than anyone would have expected outside South Africa and so on. In fact, during the election year, we couldn't get enough reinsurance cover. Mm-hmm. We only got 45% of what we wanted. You recall South Africa had elections when most countries in the world or democracies were having an election. So there was withdrawal of reinsurance capacity, and we really had to manage that risk. So I think South Africans and the way they conducted themselves during the elections, you know, they should pat themselves on the back in the way that we did them.
Yeah, we do elections very, very well, have done since 1994. Have you seen, post the 2021 riots, have you seen increased demand for your product, or more businesses perhaps stepping up and thinking, we should get some SASS for your insurance?
Certainly we have. I mean, we grew by, over the last 3 years, we've grown close to 90% in terms of our top line. And that's influenced by a couple of things. But organic growth or new business definitely was part of the mix. So post July 2021, we had a weighted average premium increase of 45%. So that will not on its own explain the almost 90% growth in premium. And then, of course, there are inflation adjustment in terms of property values just going up due to inflation. You will have noticed, I mean, our inflation has been very low, average 5-6. You might say building inflation on the top end of that 7-8%. And then, yes, there has been some organic growth. In fact, Simon, what has been surprising, we've had some customers taking us to court so that we can provide them with more cover than we can currently offer them.
Yeah, that's right, because there's limits to the upside. Are you able to expand that? I know certainly you said that you're exploring expanding what you cover. That, of course, requires changes to legislation that needs a parliament involved. I mean, are you looking to increase a potential values?
All right. Okay, I'll answer that question in two parts. Firstly, it's our immediate mandate. So in our immediate mandate, we can offer any one client of Sasria up to a maximum of 500 million rands cover. So as you will know, most businesses have got properties more than that particular value. We had a product during July 2021 where you could top up the 500 million rand by a billion rand.
Yeah.
So we could no longer offer that cover because we just did not have the capital to offer it. So with effect from the 1st of October, we'll be able now, as Sasria, to offer an additional 500 million rands on top of the existing 500 million that we offer. So that's where we see growth coming in. And then there is the wider one, which you are referring to. Treasury did commission the World Bank, and the World Bank used the South African Consulting Agency to look at how municipalities can respond to climate change, the damage, as you have seen, for instance, in the Eastern Cape. We had experiences of flooding in that area. In KwaZulu-Natal, it's become more a norm now than an exception. We are having instances of flooding in KwaZulu-Natal every 2 to 3 years, which do massive damage to the infrastructure. Out of that process, the recommendation is that Treasury and Sasria need to speed up accelerating or expanding the mandate of Sasria. So while still looking at that change in legislation, I would expect that once Treasury agrees as to the way forward, we should be able to amend the legislation in a period of about 2 years.
Okay. A quick last question. How much is sort of what's happening globally perhaps impacting the pricing that you get from the reinsurers? Because, of course, they've got a global client list. And perhaps you mentioned, for example, a lot of elections happened last year, and that might have sort of reduced their appetite for risk. Is it a global picture, or is it only really looking at us?
No, it's definitely, Simon, you're more than correct. It's definitely a global picture. So, you know, you still have the ongoing war between Ukraine and Russia. And then you've got the crisis, the humanitarian crisis that's unfolding in front of our eyes in Gaza, Palestine, and Israel. And then you have more protests in the U.S. You have some protests, for instance, in France as well. So generally, that affects the availability of reinsurance in this niche, because we're a niche insurer. So we operate in the public violence and terrorism space. And there, the capacity is reduced and the prices have significantly gone up. I mean, we are paying More than 600% more than what we used to pay 3 years ago.
Wow, 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 wow. Okay, that is a giant number. Leave it there. PB Tegwe, CEO, Sasria, always appreciate the early morning. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting for Kazi Mabudi, Head of Knowledge and Insights at Old Mutual. For you, appreciate the time today. 2025 Old Mutual Savings and Investment Monitor. I think you're in your 16th year now with this. Give us a bit of sort of highlights of how the survey is constructed every year.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. So the 16th year, indeed, as you said, our Old Mutual Savings and Investments Monitor is a study that is designed to understand the working South African population, mm-hmm. people aged 18 to 65, earning 8,000 rand and above. We do the study every year in a sample of just over 1,600 people, and we do it online, and people are able to then share with us what are their financial habits, what are their behaviors and attitudes, and their current financial realities.
And one of those realities, perhaps I think the key takeaway from it, is that it's still tough out there to be a South African consumer. That is absolutely clear. But it is getting better, and South Africans are making progress with their finances.
That is absolutely true. It is tough. It is still challenging, but people are finding a way. People are making steps towards their financial, you know, health and futures mm-hmm. that they aspire to. And I think most importantly for us this year, the thing that has been a standout is that people are optimistic. Yeah. And we know that, especially from a behavior change perspective, making choices, decisions, being empowered to feel like you can make decisions. Optimism is very important for that. And we're not just optimistic about what's happening in our own lives. We're optimistic about what's happening in the country, which again, as you can imagine, kind of post-COVID in all of the things happening, that is really refreshing to see that 42% of South Africans are confident about the economy as well. And they're optimistic about what's happening in South Africa.
Yeah, it's been a tough 5 years since the pandemic, and it is great to see, as you say, that optimism returning. And the side hustle, the entrepreneurship, you make the point. I mean, it is almost kind of embedded in our psyche as a South African. You know, whether it's starting a small business, having a little side hustle, it's something which we just innately seem to be doing.
Absolutely. 44% of people have said they earn more this year mm-hmm. than they did last year. And the reason for that we've seen in the OMSIM survey results is that people have actually found ways to make an income from multiple sources. So they are renting out rooms in their homes. Mm-hmm. They are polyjobbers, which is a term to describe someone, mm-hmm. to your point, who has a freelance gig, an actual day job, and maybe even has a business on the side. Mm-hmm. 57% of South Africans are polyjobbers. So it is now a way of surviving. It's not just an option to, you know, to say, oh, maybe I'll get a side hustle. It is the way that people are making ends meet is by having these side hustles and freelancing, for example. And for me, I think the thing that just resonated so much this year is also that we are seeing these trends are more pronounced amongst younger people. So amongst the 18 to 29-year-old cohort, the optimism is higher. The multi-source, you know, income polyjobber trend is more prevalent. They are earning incomes through social media, you know, businesses, etc. Yeah. So there's really, really this drive coming from the youth in the working population. And I think that also signals that things are getting better and that things hopefully will continue to get better.
Absolutely. The one area of concern is gambling, and I'll put my cards on the table. I think these gambling apps are horrible, and I'm being polite there. There is a prevalence of gambling, and unfortunately for some people, it is a way of hoping to sort of get some extra cash. It's not even entertainment necessarily.
What OMSIM has revealed is that the allure behind gambling is to try to make an income. And I think to your point, that's what makes it very, very concerning is people are not gambling for entertainment. They're gambling to try to pay off a debt. They're gambling to try to pay school fees for their children. And when the motivation is that high and important, it makes the reality of gambling, I think, even more concerning. And so what we've, I think, you know, kind of in looking at the insights and looking at what's played back by people around gambling, what we, I think, are highlighting is that the intent for gambling and the impact of gambling is not correlating. So the intent is noble and good, but the impact, unfortunately, is that people are ending up more indebted, people are actually, you know, suffering from a mental health perspective, a financial health perspective. And we've seen 24% of people saying, I've actually found myself in financial difficulty because of gambling. So really for us, the caution is that although the intent for gambling may be good, the impact it has is actually corrosive to both your financial health and your well-being for your family as well from a financial perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. A last question, and this was the biggie, around people sort of dipping into investments, retirement funds. That has also been decreasing, and that's a good sign. And particularly, I mean, we have a two-pot system now, which perhaps eases it in some ways, but a reduction in that, again, plays into the people are feeling a bit better and are optimistic and have a little bit more money.
For sure. So between 2023 and 2025, we've seen a 10% drop in people saying they're dipping into their savings to make ends meet. The number is still high. It's 45% of people.
Yeah.
But to come from 54% is definitely encouraging. To the point you made about, you know, retirement savings or your long-term investment savings that people have, we definitely are starting to see that move in the right direction as well. So fewer people are cashing in investments earlier than they planned, and fewer people are pausing their contributions to their investments.
We'll leave it there. For Kazi Mbude, Head of Knowledge Inside Old Mutual, that was the 2025 Old Mutual Savings and Investment Monitor. That's it for today. I was talking around the governor of the Reserve Bank saying it will be anchoring inflation at 3%. We've seen the finance minister shoot back and say it's not your job. Semantics. The Reserve Bank is anchoring. They haven't changed the target. We'll see how it plays out. I'll ask you the question. Is this good news for the economy? Over half said yes, lower inflation is better. Rest was split between sounds risky or no, it could mean higher rates. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Norbuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Impact results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.